Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. A flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a Spirit Flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show, before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your Spirit Flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did children see their mother outside the house late at night, or was it something or someone else? A full-bodied apparition leaves one person perplexed on how to react to seeing the dead living in their home. A black cloud-like figure hovers over a couple late at night in bed, leaving them perplexed as to what is going on in their bedroom.
Welcome Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, ghostpodcast.com is our website where you can download and get every single episode of our show, advanced episodes before they're released publicly in the podcast feed, advanced EPP bonus episodes that are coming out once a week for all of our EPP members. Those are exclusive. Check it out. Support the show. $5 a month. And there's a new thing with EPP just out literally as of, well, when you're hearing this, it's been out for about a week. But the day we're recording this, I've released it. We have now officially launched the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flasks as our new premium for yearly EPP members. So when you sign up for that yearly membership, you get all that stuff I just talked about. Plus, I will send you an engraved, autographed flask with our logo on it for Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, spirits playing with spirits. It's kind of fun. So that's our new thing. It's kind of replacing bunk bed bells because I think a lot of people kind of got their bunk bed bells now. The bunk bed bells still exist if you really, really want one. I got a handful left. You can choose that as your premium. But if you already got one or you're just looking to sign up now, you can get that that spirit flask when you sign up for the yearly yearly membership, or if you renew and it's your renewal date, you can claim it, or if you upgrade from a monthly, you can get it as well. Lots to talk about there. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you, Carol?
I'm good. I want a spirit flask, please.
Didn't I give you one?
Can I? No. I want it autographed.
Okay.
Yeah, come on, man.
I think
who do I got to talk to? Your wife?
You got to kind of sign it too. So that's kind of. It's like, did you sign your own flask with your own? Yes, I did. It's like the it's like the ultimate in alcoholism right there. Like, it's my signature on my flask.
So. I wouldn't even recognize it, though. Is that my signature?
Exactly.
I was drinking.
I'll get you one next time you're out here. Okay. Or next time I'm over there, because I think I'm actually going to be over there in a couple of weeks. Anyway, I have bronchitis, which kind of sucks, but I have taken my Teflon Pearl, which is the cough thing. I got my inhaler. I took the Mucinex. It sucks. I've been able to beat the bronchitis for about almost 3 years now. Last time I had it was when I was in Kansas, because it's bad allergies there, but it caught up to me this year. So I officially...
And I'm super excited we're not in the same room.
I know. It's great.
You That's awesome.
And I have a mute button, too, so when I hack up something, you don't have to hear it, nor does the audience. So that's kind of a new added bonus. Early episodes in the show, I just had to get really far away from the mic.
And you can never get far enough away.
No, not quite. Like, Jenny would be saying something and hear me in the background, like, sounding like a cat dying on a hairball.
And you're making that motion, like, keep talking, keep talking. Exactly. And she's like, but you're dying.
She'd be like, well, I can't. I don't blame her because it was like a production of me dying. But there you go. So I'm going to try and do my best to get through the show. But might be some awkward pauses here and there. But I got my hot tea as well. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how this all goes. And I know what you have an interesting story we'll talk about here maybe after our first story of something involving your pet, Buddy, leading to... possibly really saving someone's...
I think he might have.
At least day.
He might have saved a life.
Could have been more. Yeah, I mean, it's quite a story. So we'll get to that in just a few moments. Something that literally just happened right before we went on the air. So
yeah, I thought I was going to be late. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it to do this.
And my answer would have been, really? You thought saving someone was more important than doing the show? I think we got to have a little talk here in the office.
Hey, I made it.
The thing is, I think I may have worked at a radio station that would have actually had that attitude. Not the one that you're at, but at a different one at a different point in time.
It's like, that's great, but you're late for your shift.
Have you ever had, you've had PDs like that, haven't you?
No, not quite, that would not have penalized me for saving a life.
I honestly think I have, but I'm not even kidding.
No, I've never had a boss like
well,
that,
good
ever.
Good for you. Good for you. I've had some that I think would questionably, it would have not ended well. So, anyhow, 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. It says, hi, Tony and Carol. My name's Lupe. I live in Springfield, Missouri. I've been listening to your podcast for about 3 years now, and I love it so much. It's the best thing ever. I'm obsessed with scary ghost stories, and I can never get enough of them. Anyways, I have a few stories to tell you guys, but I'm going to write them all at different times. And this first one didn't happen to me, but happened to my ex-boyfriend of my sister's, who passed away about 3 weeks ago. May he rest in peace. This happened in like 2010, 2011, not quite sure what year it was, but my sister and her boyfriend were dating for a while now. Side story, my family is very religious and my mom has never liked any of us having a lot of boyfriends or girlfriends, and if we did, we were never allowed to bring them over to the house unless we were for certain that we would be with that person for the rest of our lives. You'll know here in a bit why I told you this. Anyways, one night, it was around midnight, my sister was coming home from being out on a date with her boyfriend, and she wanted to sneak her boyfriend in through her bedroom back patio door, but before she did, she went inside the house to make sure we were all asleep. She left her boyfriend outside in the car to wait, and as he was expecting, he noticed a lady walk outside through the front door, walk around the garage, and disappear onto the side of the garage. He quickly got out of the car and hid behind a tree so this person wouldn't see him. By the way, it was completely pitch dark outside. There are no street lights, and we had no porch lights on either. The only thing giving out light was the moon. My sister comes outside and is looking for him as she notices that he's not in the car where she last saw him. She began to call for his name, and he heard her. He came out from hiding and told my sister what happened, and he said that he saw my mom come outside and walk around the garage and go through a door on the side of the garage. He said that she saw she was wearing a light blue dress. My sister freaked out as she began to tell him that there was absolutely no way that there could have been my mom because everyone inside the house, including my mom, was asleep. And there was no way she could have gone inside the garage through a door on the side of the garage because there was no door on that side. There wasn't even a window. Who he saw to this day, we have no idea. There you go. That would
be a good one.
A creepy
that's a good one.
Dating your daughter story. Yeah, my God.
Well, it's like the ghost was doing all the work for the mom.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, watch this. You're not coming in my house.
I wonder if it was like a grandma or something that just kind of, you know.
I don't know, but that's that kind of like it scared the kid bad enough. He's hiding in the bushes.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I hope that
that's a good one.
I really hope at some point with the technology that we have, you know, there's all sorts of really great Halloween decor now where you can have like holograms on your windows and stuff. I really hope they make one that makes it appear as if something's like walking around like your house. That way I can use it outside of Halloween when my girls start dating. And it's like, oh my God, this guy that looks like Vin Diesel is walking out of the front door with like two large weapons and then they just leave. And then it's over and done.
See, but you could do that now. You just can't afford it.
I look nothing like Vin Diesel. So that would,
yeah. Well, so just have the Vin Diesel hologram walking around.
I'm just like, do it with some fog.
It's like at a Brad Paisley song when he sings that one song with Carrie Underwood, mm-hmm. and then she shows up and everybody's like, oh my God, Carrie Underwood's here. No, she's really not.
And
but
people
it's good
still
enough
think that.
That everybody falls for it.
Yeah, I love that hologram stuff. That's a really neat technology, because there was the Tupac one a couple years ago. There was the Michael Jackson one at some award show. There's a Carrie Underwood one.
Oh yeah.
I saw there's a company that's doing that on tour, and they're taking Roy Orbison on tour, and he's doing all of his songs, and it's a full or a smaller symphony or a smaller orchestra behind him, backup singers, and it's him as a hologram. And it's going all over the country, and I don't dislike Roy Orbison, but I'm not like a Roy Orbison fan. It's just not my type of music, really. But I saw the video, and I went, "Wow, that would be really, really neat to see." And they're also doing it with another an opera singer, and I don't recall her name, but she had also passed away many years ago, and now she's also going back on tour as a hologram.
A little creepy.
It is, but it's neat.
But so I do think you could get Vin Diesel to walk around in your garage. it's a cost issue.
Yeah. Yeah. You could do the garage, I'm sure. Because you could just like open up the door and then there's like the stage set up almost.
Right.
Yeah.
And your daughters would never bring a guy home.
Yeah. That would be.
They'd be trying to convince him, really, it's not a ghost. My dad does this to everybody.
Well, if I started working on it now, you just really need like a big, big sheet of glass. And anyway, I'll work on
I
the plan.
I just love that, because the guy saw something else. He wouldn't have been hiding in a bush.
No.
But the fact that it scared him enough that he's not going in, I think that's great.
There's no question that he saw something. It wasn't just like a shadow went by the car. All right, we'll go to your story after our next one. It says, I want to share this with you and hear your thoughts. It was very disturbing at the time, and I'll never forget it. About 15 years ago, I was renting an old 6-bedroom farmhouse along with my husband at the time and our 3 children. My husband worked between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m., so I was home alone at night quite a bit. A lot of odd things happened. And I saw a few things during the 4 years that we lived there. However, this incident was by far the scariest. My routine involved falling asleep in my bed while watching TV. On this particular occasion, I remember being startled awake in the middle of the night. I have no idea what woke me up, but I sat right up in my bed. My heart was racing. I laid back down and glanced towards the ceiling. I saw what looked like a skeleton wearing a cloak fly quietly in my room from the hallway. The TV dimly lighted the room, but I could see the thing right there. It looked like its legs and arms were bent and held tight to its body. The joints appeared to be arthritic. The torso was about 4 feet long. The body and cloak were transparent, but it looked like the cloak was made of tiny dust particles. When it moved, the cloak appeared to be free, flowing particles, but held together by static electricity or magnetic. I'll never forget those details, as they're forever burned in my brain. This creature landed on my bed. It appeared to grab the ceiling. Its back was facing me. I laid in bed frozen with fear. This thing turned its head upside down and looked right at me. It cocked its head a bit. It had a skull for a face with hollow black eyes. It also appeared to blink. My heart was pounding. I pulled the covers over my head and tried to convince myself that it wasn't real. I was alone. There's nothing I could do. I was too afraid to run. I was certainly not going to dial 911 because I'd be taken to the psychiatric hospital. I wasn't going to call my husband and ask him to come home from work because he'd have thought I was crazy too. I peeked out and saw that thing, and if it was still there, I decided to try to make it go away, but I was so scared that I couldn't speak words. I looked at it and it gave an angry look and thought the words, "Get out." It looked at me, nodded its head once, let go of the ceiling, and flew back out of my room into the hallway. My cat was sitting on the floor in the doorway and watched it fly out. I bravely put the covers over my head and convinced myself I was dreaming. To this day, I'm not sure if it was a hallucination or what it was. After we moved out, I've never experienced anything like that ever since. Jennifer, I think what you really kind of have there is a bit of confirmation that it wasn't a hallucination any sort of odd dreamlike state is the fact that the cat's watching it as well.
Yeah.
Without
but
the
what the
cat.
Hell?
Yeah, I mean, that's just something's there.
Like, in the fact that, you know, it was in such detail the way she described it.
Mm-hmm.
That, good Lord.
I would
have wet my bed.
I think the good thing is that it never came back, because that seems to almost be like the either the high point of a something that led up to that haunting, where it's like, oh my God, and then this night that happened, or the beginning of a really, really bad haunting. It's rare that we hear just this happened and then never again. So
yeah, because why?
Exactly.
You know, like, okay, you're here, you scared the crap out of me and I never saw you again. What was that all about? I could see if you were like spending the night someplace else. Mm-hmm. But if it's your home, how does something just show up one night, never again? And how could you ever sleep again after that?
You know, I guess if I had to be a ghost and I had the option to go around and just kind of scare people and screw with people, I wouldn't be hanging out with them on a regular basis just to like, cause I think that would get too much. That'd be too tormenting to be constantly like, oh, this house is possessed by demons. I would do something like this.
I'm going to go walk through the garage. Yeah,
it's a one night only. It's a one night show. It's like, it's a really good one and then it's done. So good enough that someday you'll write into a ghost show about it. That's the type of haunting I want to give somebody.
You just do it like once a month to different people.
Yeah.
Watch this.
You
tell your ghost friends, watch this. I'm going to scare that crap out of this woman.
Exactly. She's going to think she's possessed or there's some evil demonic spirit in her house. It's just me. I'm putting on a really, really good show that you're never going to forget. And then it's done. And that's it. That's what I would do if I was the ghost. And I think I'd get a really good kick out of that. Then I might follow them around for a little bit, but not freak them out and not even let them know I'm there. I would just want to hear how they described the show and what they thought of it, what their reviews were to their friends of this horrific experience that they had last night.
Yeah, and then if they're not good enough, you'd be going back for more.
Yeah, if I got bad reviews.
Didn't scare you bad enough last night? Yeah, watch this.
Exactly. It'd be like, then people would start setting up things like Yelp and Ghost Advisor for like, no, this is a great ghost. This one really freaks the shit out of you. 5 stars. Leave me the fuck alone. Yeah, I think that might be how it would go.
I love the idea of the Yelp, the ghost reviews.
Exactly. I think it could be a thing. I think we might have just invented
really
something.
Idea.
So tonight, right before we got on the air here, neat story with the buddy, your dog.
So I used to live not too far from where I live now. Mm-hmm. Like literally, I moved 2 blocks away. I like the neighborhood, okay? So we always walk around. We usually go a totally different direction at night, but I needed a short walk tonight, so I took him the direction where we used to live, but he never turns down my old street, ever, ever. He never lived in that house. And so tonight, he turned down that street, and I even said out loud, and a guy was going by on his bike, and at the time, I remember thinking, I bet that guy thinks I'm crazy, because I just said to my dog, oh, you want to go this way? And so we went that way. For some unknown reason, and now I know why, and we get a couple houses down the street, and this guy used to live right across the street from me, and he had, in high school, gotten a serious brain injury. I think he was being a high school kid, and they're out drinking, and he fell off of a car. Mm-hmm. And so he's had this brain injury ever since I've known him. But we're walking by his house, and I hear something. And I look around, and then I thought I saw something move. He was down on the ground, like he couldn't get up. He couldn't move. And I'm like, you need some help? And so I go over there, and poor guy, he couldn't move. And I think he had probably been laying there over an hour. And so he's like, I can't get up. I can't get up. And he's way big. I'm not a very big person. I'm 5'2". And he's like much bigger than me. And so I'm like, okay, Colin, we're going to have to call 911. And so we did. And they got there and they helped him out. But the thing is, it was getting dark. I'm afraid. I think he could have been out there all night.
Yeah, easily.
I really do. Had we not come by. And we never go that way. And Buddy just wanted to go that way for some reason tonight.
It's so bizarre. But I mean, it's surprising and not surprising at the same time. You know, knowing what we kind of know about how animals can kind of sense things and some of the stories that we've heard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened for a reason.
I do, because the way he was laying, if you had driven by him, you couldn't have seen him. And he doesn't have enough. He has mobility issues. And so it's not like he was able to even get himself up on his arms mm-hmm. to wave for people to help.
Sure.
You just wouldn't have seen him. And in the 30 minutes I was there with EMS and him waiting for EMS, nobody walked by I don't even think anybody drove by. So he could have been out there all night.
Yeah.
Here's, that part breaks my heart.
Here's a, it's kind of a horrible thought, but we're into Halloween season now, and I know that neighborhood does quite a bit of Halloween decorating. Could it also have easily had somebody actually walked by, and if they heard something, like someone kind of yelling or, you know, needing some help, could it have also, I mean, been construed as like, oh, they really got some authentic decorations over on their porch this year?
Well, the weird thing is he has speech issues as well with the brain injury.
Yeah.
And the way he yelled didn't sound like someone yelling. It just sounded like, that anyway.
Oh, God. So it really could have been. They're like, oh, great tape. That sounds so lifelike.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And, because I did not hear anyone yell help. I did not hear that.
Yeah.
I just heard something weird, and I saw him move. And that's only because I was walking by.
Yeah.
And he could have been yelling, and I don't think his neighbors would have heard a thing because he can't speak very loudly.
Yeah. Wow.
And thank God Buddy decided to walk down that street.
Yeah. Well, Buddy gets an extra treat tonight, I think. That's
Buddy. I mean, that is every night, but...
Well, one extra on top of the extra.
For treats. You've seen his pictures.
That's true. Yeah. He doesn't eat treats at all, ever. No. Well, that's an amazing story. That's,
I know. So I was afraid I was going to be late.
Well,
but I made it.
It all
I got
worked
here plenty
out.
Of time.
Yeah.
But he was in good hands when I left.
Good. That's good to hear. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's jump over to this letter. It says, back in 92, my wife and I rented a small, probably 600-square-foot old two-bedroom house while attending college in Greenlee, Colorado. My story starts the first night as I was awoken by a huge boom at about 2 a.m. Sounded like a car hit the house. Got up, went outside, looked all around to find nothing. As the days went on, many, many times things would disappear and reappear. For instance, I'd get home, throw the keys on the end table by the door. When you look for them to leave, they were gone. First, we'd look and look forever for an item, and then it would reappear right where we left it. When we caught on, we learned to go into another room, yell out, "Would you please put it back?" Walk back to the room, and it'd be right there. I think that constantly happened pretty much every night. We'd hear footsteps walking across the floor. Keep in mind, this was a very small house with wooden floors and a 4-foot crawl space under the house, so you could hear anyone walking easily. One night, I was very tired, and the footsteps started. I yelled out, "Could you please be quiet?" And that time, it sounded like stomping across the floor, like someone stomping on their heels. While sitting on the couch, we faced both bedroom doors by the side of the TV. At least once a week while watching TV, our poodle would bark, jump off the couch, and run to one of the doors and bark like there was someone in the room. She'd never go into the room. We joke about it and say, "Looks like you have a ghost tonight." One night after going out for dinner, we came home and all my golf hats were lined up in two rows on my bed. And about 20, and always kept them on a hat rack above my bed. My wife said that one night she woke up and there was a black cloud-like figure hovering above her. We lived this for about 5 years. Never really saw anything, thank God, but missing things and sounds happen almost every single day. Some people don't seem to believe us when I tell them. We never had anything like this happen to us before buying this house or since after moving from this house. I think one of those questionable hauntings where it just seems like someone's just kind of doing stuff to mess around, but not really in the mood to scare anyone, I guess.
Yeah, but that same thing happened to me that happened to that person when they thought the car ran into their house and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, because that night I thought that car ran into my house. I mean, when you think a car runs into your house, that's really loud.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a little bump. That's like, oh, my God, my living room is destroyed sort of sound.
Sure, sure.
And that happened to those people, too. Good. I'm not the only crazy person.
It makes you wonder if, like, is there some, when these things are appearing at some cases, is there some sort of sound thing that's, or sound barrier that's broken? You know, almost like a sonic boom, you know, where a very fast jet flies over and you hear it later and it's like, wow. I wonder if something like that is happening in some of these cases where it's appearing and it's happening so fast and defying so many gravitational laws that's the boom that we get sometimes in situations like this.
You kind of sounded smart when you said all that.
Didn't I? Yeah, it's almost there.
Although it didn't sound like a sonic boom.
Yeah.
But maybe that kind of idea of that.
Sure.
Because I have my whole life. Not my whole life. Only my life since it happened. But I was like, how did I hear something that loud that didn't happen?
Sure.
You know, because it was, you know, nothing when I made my way up there. There was nothing wrong with the room that I thought must not be there anymore. It was perfectly fine. So how do you hear it?
I don't know.
What did you hear? I don't know.
We've talked about the exploding head syndrome before, where like when you're asleep and you hear that bang or boom and you don't know what it is, and it's very, very difficult to place, you know, what it was. And a lot of times that's just a psychological thing, but if you're awake, that's usually not an occurrence that that happens.
You know, you probably hit on the word for me, psychological.
Yeah.
That could be my problem.
That's all it is every time. No, I mean,
with those people, it didn't sound like they were just more mischievous mm-hmm. than anything. Like, watch this. I can mess with your hats.
Yeah.
I'm going to put your keys over here now.
And that's really probably all it was. It's just, like I said, like I was saying, I would be kind of an asshole ghost, and I would do really good one night shows. And then I think others are just kind of like, I'm going to sit here and watch MacGyver with you every night. And every once in a while, I'm going to move your hats around. And that's like, okay, that's
because I can.
It's to each their own. It's a little less ambitious of a ghost, just like there's a little less ambitious people out there. If I'm going to do the ghost thing, I'm going to do it good. I'm going to do it big. It's going to be one hell of a show. Can't wait. My grandchildren.
I actually can, because if for some reason I outlive you, you're going to mess with me.
No, I don't mess with you.
I know it.
You're good. I won't mess with you. I'm fully intending on. I don't think I'm going to scare my kids, but I'm going to scare their kids and probably the the great grandkids too. And then I might be sick of it by then, and then we go to the light or something. But I think my grandkids and great grandkids are going to have a great time as grandpa. Just freaks the shit out.
Grandpa scares the crap out of them on a weekly basis.
And it'll be great because they'll be going through the archives of this show someday, like, oh, we found the tapes of Grandpa's old show. Oh, look, there's like thousands of episodes. How are we ever going to get through it? And they start listening and binging. And then finally hear an episode 1000 something, like, holy shit, that's him. It's what he's doing. You're welcome. Yes, it is.
Wow.
That's how it's going to work. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hi. My story's, you know, related to my childhood, as many are. I grew up in a colonial type home close to the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. And I know this from the history. It's an old town. It's located by water. It's got a rich history, as much as the East Coast does with colonials. So the house, it was situated, it was like a Cape Cod type home. It had two bedrooms upstairs, and it was separated by a hallway and a bathroom. And my brother and I were actually the ones that lived upstairs. And just thinking about it kind of, it makes me a little, my brother and I experienced. We seldom slept in our rooms alone. We typically slept in each other's rooms. He would typically end up on my floor or even sometimes in the bed because we were just too scared to really have a good night's sleep. Some of my young memories that I can recall is feeling somebody like touch my hand or my foot and pull it. And that's all it was. But you would look and there would be nobody there. You know, down the road, after talking with my mom, after we had even moved out of the house, we realized that, you know, we all kind of experienced that same thing. She said it. She seemed that the activity was a little worse or heightened when she was pregnant with my younger brother. But anyways, we would recall, like, sitting there in the living room, all relaxed, watching TV, and then all of us look to our backside all at the same time. Recalling that there was actually nothing there, but we all felt like something was looking at us in the doorway. The scariest thing that I can say in that house growing up would probably have to be the little gremlin thing that used to sit at the edge of my bed. I remember multiple occasions, I can't even tell you how many times a week it would happen, but I would wake up middle of the night and I would look at my bed and there would be just something high enough to where it was right above my bed frame, just sitting there staring at me. And as time went on, it would scare me to the point where I would have to sleep with pillows over my head. I could not look at the room around me. I was petrified, so I'd have to sleep with this, like, fort of pillows over my head. Well, I was around 10 years old, 11 years old, and it was there one night, and I finally got, I guess, balls to sit up and confront it because I was just so tired of it, and it was gone. It left. As soon as I sat up, it vanished. And a couple months go by. I'm thinking that the thing over my bed is gone. I don't have to worry about it sitting there staring at me in the middle of the night. I didn't feel like it was. I remember waking up one night not feeling too well. Actually, my heart was racing. I just didn't feel well at all. So I was going to get up and tell my mom. Her bedroom was downstairs. And I pulled the blankets over my head. And there was a thing standing in my doorway. It was tall. It was lanky. And it looked like it was, I don't know, the best way I can describe it was just flowing lace. And I remember that scared me so bad. I didn't sleep in my room for several months after. I slept downstairs on the couch where we had a fold-out bed because I was just too terrified to go back upstairs in that bedroom. So when my mom told me we were moving to Ohio, I, needless to say, was excited to get out of that house. So that's just a portion of the haunted stories that I have in that house. Later finding out that home actually came in possession to several people. They had, taken possession of the home, and a couple years later they had moved out. So who knows what had happened. Maybe those people experienced something similar to what I had. I don't know. But I can tell you that it's something that definitely stick with me for the rest of my life, and I'll never forget it. I want to appreciate you guys. I actually just found you guys out the other day, and I was hooked. So thanks for what you do, because there's people out there that don't give credit to this, and there is obviously something out there. We just don't know what it is. So thanks again, and I look forward to hearing more from you. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story. Carol, as someone who grew up in a haunted house, how would you relate to that one?
Oh, I totally. Like that whole not being able to sleep in your bedroom. And another thing that she said, like when she moved out and other people couldn't really stay there, like they didn't live there very long. I found it really validating that after we moved out, that when I found out other people had the same issues and that people who lived there before us had the same issues, because it made me feel like I was less crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a kid, you know, it's easy to feel like you're crazy. But, you know, when she said colonial house, like that was necessarily not a colonial style house where she was living. That house could add some pretty deep history to it.
Sure. Sure. And no telling exactly who or what or when it all is coming out of, or where it's from originally, or where it's originating from, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And I think that when you're a kid too, and you're experiencing that, because when we moved in that house, I was in first grade. In first grade, you don't even know what a ghost is. Like, I had no clue about anything like that. All I knew is, you know, from as soon as we walked in there, people are walking around that aren't there. And there was just things happening there that shouldn't be happening. So, but when you're a kid, you know, it's not like, especially when everyone's feeling the same thing, like in her family,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how you explain it either, but I do know that people will tell me they don't believe in ghosts. And most people who say that, well, I don't believe in ghosts, but this one time, exactly. Everybody's got a, but this one time story.
And then they try and write it off with some weird, it's like, that's impossible. You know, that's impossible. But
I've always said, you've never lived in a haunted house. Then if you don't believe in it, it's never happened to you.
It's one of those things. I think it's a hard wiring with some people. Some people are just, it's far too difficult and maybe painful or something to process the truth. It once they're set on something or what the way that they think something should be. And this goes far beyond ghosts. You know, we could take a look at this with, anything political or anything. I'm not going to go down that road with our audience, but I'm just talking people in general, and it can be go for almost any viewpoint, really. It's some people, if they're set in a direction on something and you can have it proven every damn which way. The sky is blue. It's a clear day. Look how lovely it is. No, there's a cloud up there. No, there's not. Look, it's clear. No, there's a cloud.
That sounds like my mom.
It's like, no, there isn't a cloud. Like, if there was one somewhere, I'd give you that. And I'd say, wow, it's really a half glass full type person, you know, or less than that. But if there's just nothing in the sky, they'll still somehow, they're going to conjure that up. And I think there's no way to reach beyond that with a person like that until they actually have some sort of, I don't know, epiphany, some sort of moment where they actually go, I think I want to change or need to change in this way of thinking. But the thing is, if they don't realize they need to, because they don't sense there's anything off, you just kind of get folks like that, you know, till the end. And I think you get a lot of, you know, father-son, mother-daughter relationships like that, where it's just so different and it's so perplexing to both. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, like, when I was a kid, like, and I did not like bringing friends over to my house necessarily because something would happen and then it'd be that, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and I told you this story before, but we weren't even home. We had gone out of town for the weekend, and my best friend Brenda, she's in her house. And she sees someone sit on my bed at night. Like, the light came on, somebody sat on my bed. Okay, there's nobody even home. And my neighbor is seeing something happening in my house. So, you know, to me, like, I guess there's all kinds of ways you could debunk things. Mm-hmm. But until you experience it yourself, yeah. I tell you, there's something there.
Yeah. There obviously is, and that's what I like about what we do on the show is we're not here to prove it right or wrong. It's group therapy for the paranormally affected, as we've said many times, just to share the stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that will dismiss you right off the bat, like, oh yeah, right, that happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
No, it really did.
Yeah, it's a community of people, so they don't feel alone, and other folks who've been through the same sort of stuff that you really just you can't explain. That's going to wrap up our program for today. If you like our show, well, great. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you continue listening. If you're a new listener here in the month of October, looking for something spooky to listen to, we do the show year-round. So press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on, and don't miss any episodes. Better yet, support our show. Keep us on the air. Go to ghostpodcast.com. Claim yourself the Spirit Flask. And keep spirits with you at all times. Just don't tell your employer. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. And keep us on there with a yearly membership at ghostpodcast.com. And until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.